All right, today we will have, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. I think we all know and are familiar with this verse. And let's stand, all right, as we read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and number 6. Many times we have read this verse, we have quoted this to people, and hopefully today we will learn what it really means, or what it means to trust God. Let's read together Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we've come once again into your blessed presence. We know, Lord, it's a privilege to be in your presence. Lord, because of the sin of this world, man has been separated from you, but through your love, you have brought us back. And therefore, Lord, it's always a privilege to be in your presence. It's always a privilege to hear the precious word of God preach. Unlike in countries perhaps like where our brother is from, Lord, Bangladesh, whereby it is possibly a death sentence, Lord, for anyone who would read the Bible, for anyone who would want to just know you. We thank you for the freedom and privilege we have in Singapore. Lord, I pray as Christians, we will never take our freedom for granted to worship you and then to let our friends know about Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that even as we open your word right now, speak to us in a special way. And if it's someone who have never understood the love of Christ, the terribleness of sin, the judgment to come, and the eternal life that you have offered, I pray today will be a day of salvation. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. All right, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. How many of you have never heard this verse before? I think most of us have. Okay, well, maybe for some who may not be familiar. But you know, most of us as Christians would have known this verse. And when you become actually a Christian and things happen, usually people will actually tell you, oh, you just need to trust the Lord, you know. You just need to trust the Lord and God will work things out. Right? Generally, people will give you that kind of advice. But what does it mean to trust the Lord? In the 1988 Winter Olympics, just by way of introduction, they actually featured blind skiers. How many of you have skied before? You know, ski? Ski? Yeah, well, Uncle Roland got skiing before. Eh? He went to Korea, right? And then, woo, you know. Yeah, he skied before. What is the most frightening thing about skiing, Uncle Roland? What was that? Yeah, what? Skiing, you come down and then you tumble and you break your leg. Okay. I think the problem with skiing, I've never skied before. I don't think I ever will. Okay? Because my center of gravity is a bit high, if you know what I mean. All right? And then after that, my feet, my feet becomes very long. Right? And it's very hard to kind of adjust. But you know, can you imagine a blind person skiing? In 1988, apparently in the Winter Olympics, they featured blind skiers being trained for skiing. And what they do is actually the blind skiers will always be paired with someone who can see. So both are skiers. So before they actually go on the slope, they will actually train these blind skiers to respond to the sighted skiers. When they tell them to turn left, the blind skiers will be trained what to do. Does that make sense? So they will be trained first on level ground, slowly together to respond in the correct way. I don't just respond, turn left, but respond in a particular way so as to protect them. And then when they are very good and they've deemed that they have learned to respond in an appropriate way, then they bring them onto the slope. And then as they go down, the sighted skier will ski down together with them to give them instructions as they go. All right? Now, as they obey the commands left and right, these blind skiers can actually negotiate the course, all right, to cross the finishing line. And there's only one thing they can depend on. What's that? The word of the sighted skier. And that can actually mean the difference between victory and tragedy. If they don't listen, they will actually go into tragedy, all right? Now, this is a picture of the Christian life. In this world, many of us How many of you know what is going to happen tomorrow? Put up your hand. Christian or not Christian? How many of you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Well, how come you all don't know? I thought you all make plans for you, right? We will never know what's going to happen tomorrow. We can make plans. We can take your A-level, the O-level, and all that. We can make plans. But you know, you'll never know what's going to be ahead. The only way you can walk confidently ahead is when you have someone to tell you what's ahead and how to walk the road. In this verse that we have read, the Bible tells us that we are in the trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay? This verse firstly implies there is already a relationship with God. I say that again. When you listen to this verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart, it implies that you already have a working relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an important first point. Why? Because trust is a very important aspect of any relationship. Would you agree with that? Trust is a very important aspect of any relationship. Okay? Without trust, there is a very poor relationship. In fact, sometimes there is no relationship if there's no trust. This relationship with God begins at conversion. When you became a Christian, it begins a relationship with God. This is a very important first step for every Christian who wants to learn to trust God with your life. Because many Christians, after they become Christian, live as if they are not a Christian. Because they seem that there's no relationship with God. The first step is relationship with God when we first place our trust in Him to save us from our sin. Alright, Acts 16:31. Who knows that verse by heart? Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. What is the prerequisite for salvation? What is the first step for salvation? You have to believe. It's faith. It's trust. Don't you agree with that? It's faith, it's trust. We put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. When you say you trust someone, it means that you place your faith in that person. Do you agree with that? As Christians, are you with me? Turn to Psalm 56, verse 13. This is an important principle to launch into our message today. If you begin your life by faith in Christ, Psalm 56, verse 13, let's read together, okay? Those who have the verse, read together. I think it may not be in your... Now, this is one of the verses, you've got to turn to it. Psalm 56, verse 13. Are you ready? Let's read together. Psalm 56, verse 13. Those already, let's follow along. Ready? 1, 2, go. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? The psalmist David made it clear in this particular verse. God, you have saved my soul from death. You have saved me from death. You have delivered my soul from death. Applying it to the Christian, God has saved your soul from eternal death. Every one of you who are Christian have trusted the eternal Son of God to save your soul from the lake of fire. Would you agree with that? You have put your entire faith in someone that when you leave this world, your soul will be safe in the hands of our Savior. You have trusted Him. When you prayed the sinner's prayer, and by the way, praying the sinner's prayer will not save you. Faith in Jesus Christ to save you will save you. Just saying a prayer will not save you, by the way. Many people say prayers, but they don't mean the prayer. Doesn't work. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. God made it clear. You have to believe, you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Then you are a Christian. Then you start that relationship with God. But you know, if God has saved, if we have put our entire soul, and everyone has an eternal soul. When we die, we don't just vanish. We go, the Bible tells us, either to the lake of fire to be punished for our sins or to heaven when we trusted Christ. So if we as Christians have put our faith in Christ to save us, the second part says, will not thou deliver my feet from falling? What the psalmist is saying here, Lord, you have saved me. Our salvation is by faith. Life in this world is to be by faith too. Trusting God in this life. In Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who know Hebrews 11, that passage refers primarily to Christians because it shows how Christians live a life of faith even when they are unable to manage situations. Noah, Abraham, these are all believers in God. But you know, Paul teaches us what it means to live by faith in this life, okay? You know what? Today's simple lesson, God wants us to learn what it means to trust Him as Christians. God just wants us to learn what it means to trust Him as Christians. If you are not a Christian, you have no basis for any faith in God. But Brother Johnny, I do believe in some God. My question always, this is hopefully for any Christian who say, oh, I believe in God. The thing you need to ask that person is, what is the God's name? If you don't know the God's name, then you just believe in something that is not sure. But what is the name of our God? The Lord Jesus, Jehovah God. He is the Creator God. He is called by the names in the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a name. All right? So what does it mean to trust God? If you're a Christian, it's assumed that you have a relationship with God. My name, Brother Johnny, I don't think I have a relationship with any God. It could be you're not a Christian. Every Christian knows you have a relationship with God. If you're sitting here and say, I don't know what you're talking about, may I say that you're going to go through this life, if there's no faith in Christ, you'll go to a place called the lake of fire, which God has mandated that those who do not trust Him will have to live eternally. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ was provided so we can live by faith. Okay? So for Christians right now, what does it mean to trust God? The word trust here, follow along, all right? The word trust here has the idea, a few ideas of trust. It means to hide for refuge. Hide for refuge. It means to be hopeful in. Hopeful in. It means to be bold and confident in. It means to be at peace. All right, these are a few aspects. And let me apply that. That means in times of trials, I will run to God for refuge because of my trust in Him. Sister Summer, when Chichi is afraid, what does she do usually? When Chichi, what does she do when she's afraid? Is she ever... She hug you, right? Did she say, Mama, explain to me everything that's happening? No, she does. No, she runs. Why does she run to Sister Summer? Because she's the mother. She's the refuge. And she hangs on. And interestingly, she just hang on. You know, but for us, in terms of... There is that relationship that Chichi has with the mother. Okay? Does he run to someone else? There was one particular boy. Well, he's autistic, but when he was 3 years old, he always runs to his mother when he's, you know, autistic, right? So when he's afraid, he will run to his mother and hug his mother. There was one time in church, he was afraid of something, so he ran to a lady with glasses that looked like the mother, okay? So as he just ran and just hugged the mother. Then of course, this lady didn't know what happened, so, oh, okay. Then the autistic boy look at it. Not the mother. Pushed the lady away and ran away and couldn't find the mother. Why did the boy push that lady away? Isn't he getting comfort? No, I have no relationship with you. Does that make sense? Trust implies a relationship that when you have trouble, you run to him for refuge. That's trust. That means also when we do something for the Lord, we will be bold and confident in him because we trust in his strength and his might. When you serve God in this church, you don't serve God in your own strength. You serve God in God's strength. There are many times Christians say, Brother Johnny, I cannot do it. No, in my mind, I'll tell you as pastor, you need to be able to trust God to give you the strength to do what you need to do. Because that's confidence in God. No service for God can ever be done in the flesh. Agree? No genuine service for God can be done in your own strength. You need to trust God. That means also when things go wrong in your life, we will still be at peace because God is a refuge. Because God is the refuge. You know when there's that trust, you know when the little Chichi will run to Sister Summer? She'll just hang on. Why? Because you know, as long as Mama is around, I'm okay. Isn't it therefore surprising that for Christians we go through life sorrowful, we go through life without joy, we go through life anxious, we go through life worried? Is it because there is no relationship with someone who infinitely cares for us? Another meaning of trust is it means that we can hope for the best because we know God is in charge. We can hope for the best because we know God is in charge. And by the way, trust is a choice. Did you know that? Trust is a choice. I choose to trust, just as I choose to love. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, okay? Because when you love, you will trust. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8 says. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 8. Sorry, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. Okay, let's read together that verse. Ready? 1, 2, go. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Brother Johnny, what does that talk about? Okay, just add the word charity in front. Charity beareth all things. Charity believeth all things. You know, this is a very essential principle of the Christian life. When you genuinely love someone, you will believe in that some person, even when that person has done wrong. That's tough. That scripture. Do you realize the Lord Jesus Christ entrusted the salvation of this world to unbelieving disciples when he left? Matthew chapter 28. And I'm not saying they continue in their unbelief, okay? But you know, when you love someone in Christ, it will lead us to believe in that person with God's help to help the person become a better person. Trust does that. One of the common complaints perhaps of workers or people who always say, you know, the person don't let me do it because he don't trust me. He don't trust me. Trust is a choice. So firstly, the most important thing I believe is in the Bible here in Proverbs 3, there must be a relationship between you and God. Is it possible some of us fail to trust God because there is no relationship to begin with? Because if I have no relationship with you, why should I trust you? Okay? But yet, there are circumstances where I have trusted Christ with my eternal salvation, but humanly, I still find it hard to trust God with my life. You know why? Because we all live by our sight. Things don't go well, we find, hey, where is God? In this particular verse, God then teaches us, if you already have a relationship, what do we need to do to demonstrate this trust in God? Okay, let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. This verse tells us what we do in this trust. How do we trust the Lord? Number one, we need to learn to trust Him with all of our hearts. Okay, I'll just be teaching you from there. We need to learn to trust the Lord with all our heart. Why the heart? Why the heart? Why must trust God with all our heart? Why not with your mind? You know why not with the mind? Because we are very calculative. We start to think, wow, this person come here. For example, if bills are too much, you say, God, I cannot. If I love you in my mind, means my income is only 1,000 a month. My payment 2,000. Nah, I cannot trust God. We begin to calculate. Why with our heart? The Bible teaches here, the heart is the center of the human life. It means when you trust God, when you put faith in God, when you put confidence in God, you trust God with the innermost of your being. When we trust God with our hearts, listen to this, it means we trust Him with everything inside of us, with our will, our wisdom, and our consent. In other words, when we say, God, we trust You, we believe in that trust with all our thinking, our decisions, and we agree, God, Your plan is best, with everything inside of us. Job chapter 13, verse 15. Listen to what Job said when he was surrounded by difficulties in his life. He says, though God kills me, I will still trust Him. Are you able to come to a place whereby you can trust someone that even when that person does the worst thing to you, you still say, I still believe in him? Are you able to do that? You know, Job have came to a place that he could trust God. And God, even if you kill me, I know it's for my best. Say, what? You see, when you say what, humanly, you don't have a relationship with a God. You don't know who this God is. Okay, I was talking to this man on Wednesday, this man on this week, and he's not a Christian. He asked this question, how can a God of love take away my wife when she's so young? Okay, he lost his wife to cancer. And all I can, because he's a non-believer, it's very hard for him to understand. But you know what? Apparently he has gone to many pastors, and all the pastors say the one thing, God has a plan. But you know, he cannot accept that. You know why he cannot accept that? So I told him, because you don't have a relationship with this Father. You don't understand him. For every Christian here, I'm going to say the next thing. I'm sure all of you agree. No matter what happens in this life, God always has the best for you. Would you agree with that? He always has the best. It implies you have that relationship. You know, the follow-up action is we have to trust God, therefore, with all our hearts, with everything inside of us. I did this illustration before. I don't know whether I can have another. You know, I remember we had Joseph standing here? Remember? Should we try it again? Should we try? Is it okay, Brother Joshua? Don't know? Yes? After him? Anyone lighter than him that I can try? Would you want to try again? No, he doesn't trust me. So maybe. But anyway, there was one. Basically, we'll get this little boy to stand here. And then I will stand there, jump. And this boy will be shaking his leg. Then don't dare to jump off. All right, you want to try? I think maybe he's more. No, he doesn't want to. Okay, let's not force him. There was one little boy. Okay, another boy. Okay, I'll tell you a story. This boy, his name is Zach. Zach went on a holiday with his in America. So, Dad and Zach went on this holiday. So to the wilderness. So they had camp. So this Zach, they were climbing some small hills. And after a while, this man was standing down there, the father, and then he heard, "Hey, Dad, look!" And then when the moment the dad looked up, Zach actually, from quite a high place, jumped, "Dad, catch me!" So he just threw himself down, and the dad said, "Wah!" You know, it hit him, and he fell over, because he wasn't prepared, so he got hit. After that, he's, "Zach, can you tell me a reason why you did that?" You know what Zach said? "Because you're my dad. I did that because you're my dad." And then the dad, it dawned on him, the son was willing to jump from a height into dad's arms because he knows dad is going to catch him. Dad's not going to, do this. Right? Christians, are you afraid of falling in this life? You know, there are some Christians who are afraid of failure. They're afraid of failure. They don't. Everything must be sweet, sweet. You know, everything must be to the T. Everything must be very nice because I cannot. And you know why? Because it. Perhaps they're not trust God. That when they fall, are you willing to trust God with your bank account? Are you willing to trust God with your life? Are you willing to trust God? Trusting God with all our hearts means we are willing to throw ourselves into God's hand. Simply our belief in God with all our heart means is without doubt, without reservation, without calculation. I say again, trusting God with all our heart means we trust God without doubt, without reservation, and without calculation. To some, it is, I use the Chinese word, xiao, silly. To God is faith. In the army, some of us may have gone through this. When I was in the army, we did this thing called abseiling. You know what abseiling? We call it rappelling. Okay, basically, you are to come down from about 6-7 stories. Right? Some of you may have been through that. 6-7 stories, of course, they'll secure you. And you're supposed to come down from the side of a wall about 6-7 stories high. There's nothing else at the bottom. All right? You're supposed to come down. So when I started that, to be honest, I was very fearful. You know what? Because I only have one rope that's able to protect me, all right, to hold me. So I was fearful. The instructors were encouraging. That helped a little bit. But you know what? My entire life was dependent on that rope, whether or not it can hold me up, right? You know? So thank God, they don't laugh. My weight wasn't as heavy as the time when I was doing that, so it was a little bit better. But you know, the test came. That was just the first time we went down. Because once you get used to going down 7 stories with a rope, with nothing else underneath, there's no safety net also, by the way. All you have is one guy who you kalang kabo, he just pulls straight, then you dangle. Okay? You know, the first time was okay because it's only your own weight. Guess what? Then later on, okay guys, put on your helmet, your rifle, and then put on your helmet, rifle, and your full pack. In other words, you got to carry your full battle order, your full everything that you will take into battle, and come down. Oh, finish like that. Where got strength? And you know what? The rope, which is quite thick, is supposed to hold me as I come down. Question. What is it? If the rope breaks, how? Generally, it won't. So, okay, it's quite safe. It's quite thick. It's quite strong. But you know, our Christian life, sometimes, do you believe God can hold you and the load you carry? Do you believe that? Because many of us live the Christian life. We think so much. I'm not asking you not to think. But we consider so many things. We forget that God is able to hold us up. That we need to trust Him. We need to trust Him. There may be fear, but are you still in faith, willing to go down that rope and trust that rope of God to hold you? God is stronger than that rope. Amen? God is able to hold us even when we think He cannot. When we are willing to entrust our weight and load into God's hands, you are trusting God with all your heart. Listen to this. That means the financial worry, after you are placed at the feet of Christ, frees your mind to serve Him. It means that your future and all that you're concerned about will not take your mind away from obeying the Lord in doing what He tells you to do. That means even in trials, you are at peace, knowing that God is in control. Trusting God with all your heart, that's point number one. When you trust God as a Christian, trust God with everything inside of you, without doubt, without reservation, no calculation. Point number two, when we trust God, it means we will lean not to our own understanding. That's what the Bible says. The word lean on, moving on, means to rest upon. Means to rest upon, means to rely on, means to depend on. Okay. Can I have Brother Joshua call? Brother Joshua, okay. I just put down your things. Okay. All right. I'm going to lean on you. Okay. I'm going to lean. Inside. Okay, I just lean. Okay, I just lean. Never mind, you go. So I'm leaning, I'm putting my whole weight on Him. Okay? Yes, sir. Because you know why? Honestly, He's bigger than me. He's stronger than me. I'm putting my whole weight on Him. But you know what? The word lean is to lean not on your own understanding. In other words, don't rely, don't put your whole life and future onto your own understanding. You know why? The word understanding has to do with our skill, our wisdom, our thinking, our intellect, our experience. Because sometimes it is through experience we understand things, yes? You know what God says? Don't even lean on that. Because your experience is your experience. It may not be the true experience. Because our human experiences are limited to our own perception, our own thinking of what the experience is. The Bible says, Proverbs 28:26, let me just read that. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. God said it, if you trust your own intellect, if you trust your own heart, if you trust your own wisdom, God calls you a fool. Okay? We may be able to handle our worldly affairs and job using our skills and intellect. Perhaps some of the technical aspects of this work. But when it comes to life issues, relationship challenges, decisions that will affect your behavior and life, you need life wisdom from God. Do you agree with that? A lot of us have skill to handle our work. But many of us don't have skill to handle life. You know why? Can I say this from Scripture? It could be because you lean on your own understanding, your own experience, your own culture, all the time. And that's why you don't trust what God says. All right, you don't trust what God says. Many years ago, when I was a pastor, we were at Christ Church and we were looking for a new place because we just received word that we'll be kicked out. All right, the diocese, one of the Anglican dioceses says that if you are non-Anglican, you cannot use the church premise on an extended period of time. All right, so we were renting a place at Christ Church. My friend was quite good; he's a Christian, so he tried to stall for us. Okay, and he tried to stall for us. We found a place. Well, we were supposed to find a place, but the time given was up to June. So we had about 8 to 9 months to find a place. He tried to stall. So I was frantic because as a pastor, I know that we need a place for people to meet. All right. So initially, we had a few options. One was in opposite Sembawang Shopping Center, okay, some of the shop houses. All right. The check was prepared, but later on the property agent said, sorry, that was taken, so couldn't. And besides, it was quite small. And then, I think some of you may know this, we actually had a place, I think it was 38, which is actually PE Church, you know PE Church, Jalan Teleport, where we was right behind near the edge where there's a lot of bushes and all that kind of thing. So we actually made a decision, we actually go there, not all the church agreed. For me, I was just frantic, you know, and we managed to get the place, we managed to secure the place, but something inside of my heart was thinking, I was just thinking, okay, we need a place soon. So, you know, when Singaporeans get very kanchong, when we get very anxious, what do? We just, whatever comes, we grab. And so I grab. All right? And of course, the church, some of the church members say, hey, wait, can we wait a while? So we decided to actually go. I mean, as a church, we somewhere in my heart, I say, hey, it's not entirely peaceful, you know. And when we move in, everyone was saying, wow, there was a lot of mosquito, a lot of complaints. So I was thinking, Lord, did we make the right decision? It's already signed that the check has been given. It's everything was done. We're supposed to be moving already. And something in my heart just say, hey, you are moving on your own wisdom as pastor. I just remember it was Sunday night. And I was telling my wife, I think my wife said, hey, actually, I don't know what we, what did we say? You're saying I was very foolish, right? No, my wife gives me good feedback. And sometimes it's just, I can't remember what was said already. My wife is very good at that. But it's something just not right, you know. And true enough, it wasn't right because the next day, the property agent called me. No, okay, before that, I did pray and said, Lord, I think I remember saying, Lord, I think I moved too fast. And so, there was no peace about the whole agreement because so I left it as that. The next morning, I received a call from the property agent. He said, sorry, Johnny, you have to sign again because actually the person who asked you to sign is not the landlord. It's the tenant of the landlord. I said, what? Because he wants to get out of the place, so he find another person. But in that case, I don't want. So I took the opportunity that God opened the door and basically extricated. And it was smooth because you know why? You don't want ML? So he drove all the way from Bedok, gave me the check. Still remember him outside Christchurch at 3 p.m. And then I still have I took the check from him. I tore the check. Said, God, teach me to wait on you. I lean on my own understanding. I took a place. God intervened to slap me in the face. Said, you better wait on me. And guess what? After that, we got Jalan Telopok, which was far better, far bigger, for the same price. God just needed me to wait. I lean on my own understanding. I made a decision as pastor. My pastor made wrong decision. Yes, because I'm human. Even as pastor, I may know a lot of God's word. God still has. I cannot lean on my own understanding. I need to lean on God's understanding. Does that make sense, Christians? But you know what? On a daily basis, many Christians make decisions for their life based on your own understanding. We need to be very, very careful. Then, Brother Johnny, then how do I know if a decision that I made is based on God's understanding or my understanding? Let's turn to the book of James. Okay? God gives us very, very clear. There are many, many reasons or many, many passages that we can turn to. I just want to turn on this. For those you should have come for the youth seminar because we talk about discerning God's will, all right? But in James chapter 3, one of the ways you can find out whether or not The decisions you make were based on your understanding or God's understanding. It's in James chapter 3, verse 14 to 18. The Bible tells us, I just read, just follow along. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So if you're a wise man and you are endued with knowledge, that means you think you're very good, very clever, able to make decisions. Then James said, let him show out a good conversation, in other words, good behavior, with meekness of wisdom. In verse 14, he says, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And when envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. In the book of James, James identified, if I make a decision that comes from the fact that I don't like this person, that's why I'm making a decision. Okay? Or I'm not too sure, because the Bible says if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts. In other words, when you make a decision as something you have to strive against that you know is true, is right, that wisdom is not from God. You are making a wrong decision. What else? Verse, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion. And every, if you are confused with your life, you are not making the right decision. I say that upon the authority of God's word. You know why? Because the Bible goes on in verse 17 to say, but the wisdom that's from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. That means that whenever I make a decision, the decision I make, I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I'm leaning on God's understanding. If that's the case, then the understanding is that the information is pure. It's from God. But God's word is pure. And then, it's peaceable. It brings peace to people's hearts. This is one of the marvels of God's word. When we make our decision based on His wisdom, it brings peace. Does that make sense? It brings peace. And then, it's gentle. You don't have to fight it. It will help you straight away. It's gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. The outcome, as pastor, this is one of the indications to see whether a church member or anyone who made a right or wrong decision. If at the end of the day, your life is a mess or confused, you have not made the right decision. That's what God says. If you're confused, if you're in strife, if you're all over the place, you're not too sure, your knowledge, your work for God is affected, you're not making the right decision according to God. Because then it means that you're leaning on your own understanding. However, if you make a right decision full of wisdom, people start to grow, there is peace, there is a general movement in the right direction where things are being done right. You know it's a wisdom that comes from God. And this is something that we have to understand, because when we trust God, we will not lean on our own understanding. Many Christians in Singapore and abroad make decisions for career, for house, for jobs, for anything, oftentimes based on their own understanding. They don't consult God's word. That's the next point. Point number three. When we trust God, we will acknowledge Him in all our ways. We will acknowledge Him in all our ways. A lot of people do this and say, well, I just pray about it, Lord. Question for you. What does it mean you pray about it? Did you realize if you pray, don't do anything, it doesn't work? When you pray, of course, God can. At the end, I'll touch on it a little bit. But when you pray and say you trust God, but then later on, just go on whatever that you're doing, it doesn't help you to move in God's direction. Okay? Let me just expound this. When we trust God, we will acknowledge Him in all our ways. The verse means in everything we do, in all our pathways, our life decision, trusting God means that you will the word acknowledge means recognize God. In all your ways, recognize God. In all your ways, recognize God. In whatever you do, recognize God. In whatever decisions you make, recognize God. In the career that you choose, recognize God. In the friends that you make, you recognize God. In the things you buy, you recognize God. In the place you move to, you recognize God. In your job career, you recognize God. In the course, in your university, you recognize God. In your education system, you recognize God. Is God in there? If you don't recognize God, then you're not trusting God. Okay? What does it mean? I want to work through it with you. I'll just read this first. Trusting God means that we will recognize God for who He is, what He has for us, and what He can do in our lives for our good and for His glory. I say again, trusting God means we recognize God for who He is, what He has for us, what He can do in our lives for our good and for His glory. Okay? I want to work through it. When we trust God, we say that we acknowledge Him. Let's pretend, all right? A person is in a trial, a difficult time in his life. What does it mean to acknowledge God in our trials? Because we need to trust God, right? So we trust God in our trials. We will think, God, you are omniscient, you are all-knowing. God knows where I'm going, I acknowledge that. I acknowledge that since God knows what I'm going through, even though I may not know the situation, I know by faith He does. I acknowledge Him because He's all-knowing. Our God is omnipresent. God knows I'm worried. I acknowledge that. God knows I'm concerned. God knows I need encouragement. I acknowledge He stands with me. I acknowledge He walks with me because He says He will never leave me nor forsake me. That's acknowledging God. Therefore, trusting God involves receiving the promise that God is with me. For you, for some of us who may be in dire straits, maybe you have difficulties in your life, do you believe? Do you trust? And God says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Do you believe that? If you believe that, you will not have any worry in your mind. I'm saying this of a truth because many Christians, they say, I'll just pray, but they don't acknowledge God. Prayer is an instrument that God gives to us. Prayer must be backed up by faith. Otherwise, it will accomplish nothing. You can pray. That's why the religious leaders will pray and they recite long statements, but God says, I'm not interested in your prayer because your heart is not, you don't believe, but you pray. We acknowledge God in my trial that God is all-powerful, that there is nothing too hard for Him. Would you agree with that? There's nothing too hard for God. And therefore, I acknowledge that He has the power to help me overcome my trials in my life. And when you know that someone is able to help you overcome your trials, what is your heart? Your heart is at peace. You're able to be at peace. I acknowledge God is Lord of all, and therefore I acknowledge His rule in my life, and therefore when I trust Him, that means I say I follow and obey exactly what He says. That's acknowledging God. Christian, listen to this. If you are disobedient in one area or two areas or three areas of your life, it means you're not acknowledging God. There is no faith. Because genuine faith will follow what God says. Well, Johnny, don't judge me. Look at Daniel, Joseph, and all the men of the scriptures. When they say to trust God, even at the point of death, they say we will not disobey God. Would you agree with that? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, King, we will not bow down. We know God can deliver us. But even if He doesn't, we will still not bow down. You know, that is kind of tenacious loyalty to God that we need to have today. Yet many Christians, the slightest problem, they give up the service. They give up God. They give up things that they know is right. Don't lean on your own understanding. We need to acknowledge God. He will tell us what to do. Do you believe that? When was the last time God instructed you in something? Let me ask you. Because God says, lean not to your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him. When we acknowledge the Lord, He will tell you what to do. And we know the way He tells us is always right. The action may be tough, but it's always the right thing to do. Christians, we need to learn that. You know, there was one, you know, when I was telling you about the abseiling, right, the repelling, I had another friend. I remember him vividly because in his number in the platoon, his number is just before me. So he was just in front of me when I was supposed to go for my next turn. And I had to wait for a long time. In coming down from the repelling, abseiling, what you need to do when you're, I can't really do it because there's no string, but anyway, try to imagine, all right? Your leg has to be put straight like this, your body is straight up like this. Does that make sense? So it's like an L, okay? The string comes down like this. I don't know whether you can see. But anyway, all you need to do, I will hold the string at the back of my hand. That's a control. Okay? In order to come down, I need to open. I need to let go. So once I let this go, the string will then, I will be then, my weight will bring me down. And when I want to stop, I just, that's kind of like my brake. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying? Anyone don't understand? Okay, so my hand is my brake. So for 15 minutes, my friend in front of me, and what you need to do when you open up is you have to kick off also. So when you kick off and open up your hand, then you can kind of very efficiently come down. Kick and then come down. Does that make sense? Okay? So my friend was very good at kicking off. But he wasn't going anywhere. You know why? Because he doesn't let go. And I still remember the instructor was a commando. He was shouting vulgarities at him already. For 15 minutes, he was doing this. I didn't laugh. I was more frightened because if he is so frightened, what's going to happen to me? You know? How many Christians of you are like that? Because he was leaning on his own understanding. No. I cannot let go of my hand. Wait, I fall down. I cannot let go of my hand. Wait, I fall down. But the instructor is telling him, let go. Then you can go down. No. For fifth, after a while, the commander got fed up. Now you go and sit out first. Now, Johnny, come. How many of us are like that Christian? When we push off here, we do part of the service, we are unwilling to let go of this part. This is the crucial part, not this one. Many Christians will do this because that's easy. As long as I don't fall down. But they will hold on to this. You know why? Perhaps they don't trust the rope or the instruction of the instructor. Christians, when we lean on our own understanding, is it therefore a reason why some Christians don't grow? Because they are not prepared to trust and let go and let God and trust Him. Christians, you trusting God. Point number four. You know, the most wonderful thing is this. God promises to direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, recognize Him. And God says, He will direct thy paths. That's the last point. God promises to direct our way. In Jeremiah 10:23, the Bible tells us, I'll just read, O Lord, this is an important verse for anyone who assumes that they can lead their own lives. Jeremiah the prophet told God, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah was teaching a very solemn truth as he was telling God. The background was Israel was already conquered by the Babylonians. All along, for 490 years, the Israelites was disobeying God. And God was saying A, they were going B. God said C, they were going D. So after 490 years of going their own ways, they were kept in bondage. They were overcome by the Babylonians. Jeremiah, in his prayer to God, says, God, the way of man is not in himself. The verse simply means the proper way a man ought to walk doesn't come from himself, doesn't come from the decisions he makes. The way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. What Israel tried to do was to direct his steps. But the scriptures teach in Proverbs, man devises his ways, but the Lord directs the steps. And so Jeremiah was highlighting the absolute helplessness of every individual who tries to make decisions to control their own lives. And the need to trust. But you know, moving on, and Jeremiah tells God that God knows that the right way that man should walk is not in himself. Why? Because man by nature is sinful. We will always go the way we want to go. Would you agree with that? We will always go the way we want to go, always go the way is convenient, always go the way that is most protective. We always like to stay in a comfort zone. I know, I'm thinking of Brother Amino. For him to come all the way, he was to be a Christian, is to be excommunicated from his own family. How many of you would be willing to do that for Jesus Christ? Christians, there's a living example of a Christian who says, for Christ, even my family I leave. Brother, do you love your family? Who doesn't love his own family? But for the sake of Christ, he's willing to say, God, I'm willing to let my family go. I'm not bringing up as someone we worship. But just to understand, when we choose the right way, oftentimes, the right way is not in man, it's in God. God has to tell us the right way. But you know the encouragement for Christians in Psalm 37, verse 23, listen to the scriptures. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. When, as an unbeliever, like the Israelites who don't believe in God, they tried to direct their steps, they were in bondage, they got into trouble. But in Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. When we actually have a relationship with God, He appoints our steps. The word ordered means to appoint. Did you know that? The steps of a good man is appointed by God, and He delighteth in His way. That means, like a father who does not impose his will, but faithfully, compassionately teaches the right way and pleads with his son to walk the right way. Children, listen to this. When your dad or your mom tells you a biblical way, you may say, you cannot force me. Yeah, we cannot force you, but we'll plead with you. Why? Because the dad and mom, as God did, delights in that way. God delights to see His children walking in the right way. Would you agree with that? God delights. That's what it means. Okay? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and God delights in His way. God delights. God finds pleasure in seeing. He finds interest in the steps that His children walk. And He wants to make sure it's the right way. And that's why He orders it. God delights in the way that the child will walk. It means He's interested. He wants to walk the way. He wants to see the pathway walked well. Another verse, Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. When we have a relationship with God, when we acknowledge God will guide us. You know what God says? I'm going to guide you with my eye. You know what it means? Guiding you with your eye. There are some people who, when you tell them something, they are very blurred. Say, can you go there? Where? Go there. Where? There. See? There. That's what God means. I will guide you with my eye. In other words, I will be very specific as to what you need to do. I will be very specific. Christians, do you believe that? You know one of the reasons why Christians don't obey God? Because they don't hear what God says, number one. Number two, they're not in the habit of habitually obeying God specifically. You know, I think of Israel, I think of the many promises in God's word. It is fulfilled to the very letter. To Israel, even to God's people. But you know, Christians, sometimes we don't hear what God says. But God says, I will direct you with my eye. In Psalm 58, verse 11, I like this. Isaiah 58:11. Let me just read there. You want to turn there? Memorize it if you like. It talks about God's guidance. God says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. Promise of permanent guidance for you. And satisfy thy soul in drought. In other words, when you are walking through the driest parts of your life, God says, I will satisfy your soul. That's what it means. And make fat thy bones. The idea is not your bones. Bones don't get fat. The word make fat your bones means in the middle of the bone is the bone marrow. You get osteoporosis, right? Why do you get osteoporosis? What happens in osteoporosis? The bones get weaker and it breaks easily, right? Making fat the bone means I will strengthen the bones from inside, making you strong, able to stand. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. That's God's promise of His guidance. So, Brother Johnny, God promises to direct our way. So how should I, let's turn to Genesis 24. How should I see God's leadership in my life? God's guiding in my life. Genesis 24, I like this one. It's about Abraham asking the servant to find a wife for his son. How do you like the job? Let's say Abraham asked, Uncle Roland, I want you to go and find a wife for my son. What are some thoughts that will come through your mind? If it's not a correct one, okay, if you get an ugly one, how? If you get a big one, poor one, not compatible one, how? You know, that's a serious job, okay? To the point that Abraham made the servant swear by putting his hand under the lap. It's a sign of swearing, okay? Assurance, you will do as I told you. But in Genesis 24, there's a servant goes out to look for the wife. Look at verse 12. The first thing he did was what? Verse 12, the Bible says, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Two things. Number one, he starts to pray. Number two, when he's praying, it's not for himself. It's not for himself. God, you are the God of my master. Show kindness to my master. And then show me what to do for my master. There must be, number one, prayerful submission to God. It's not your will, but God's will. So important in leadership. You need to strip yourself of what you want when you want God's will. That's hard. Because of pride, we want our own way. This servant, he's a servant. But he believed in the God of his master, and he prayed, God, your will, show kindness to my master. Notice in what the servant did in this situation. It's nothing for himself. He was a servant. He was fulfilling the will of the master Abraham. And he prayed to the God and said, God, I submit to you, show kindness to my master. Okay, so he prayed. And then verse 14, he specifically petitioned. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast pointed, you know. Later on, after submission and prayer, I said, God, be very specific with your petition. I said, God, I need you to show me exactly what you want me to do. How do I know, Lord, that this lady is to be wife for my Abraham's son? Now, some of us, many Christians live by this. If the first girl that writes, I love you, means that the person is supposed to marry me, that's not how you're supposed to choose your life partner, okay? Okay? God actually put parents, God put pastors, God put youth leaders to guide you in that. God put godly people, all right? When you make certain decisions, you need to go by God's word, okay? I believe Brother Desmond and you, Samuel, taught how to discern God's word. One of it is definitely, what does God have to say about it? Is it wrong? Is it sin? Can a Christian work as a bartender? Can a Christian work as a bartender? According to the scriptures, no. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15. Cursed is the man that giveth his neighbor drink. But Brother Johnny, I'm earning money. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You're still giving your neighbor drink. It's sin for a Christian to be a bartender. Okay, that's what the scriptures teach. So immediately, no, I'm not going to consider that occupation. Does that make sense? So there are certain things you have to need God's word. So it was a specific petition. And then at the end, to cut a long story short, God answered that prayer. But I want you to look at what the servant said in Genesis 24, 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Can I say this? Many Christians are not led by God because you are not in the way. What does it mean to be in the way? If you are not baptized, if you do not want to seek God's will, if you're not doing what you know you're supposed to do, many things, actually Christians, but Brother Johnny, I need to pray and seek God's will, whether I should come to church. God already said you have to come to church. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. It's made of Sundays. When we are not in the way. Do you know what are Christians called in the early church? They are called people of the way. Did you know that in the book of Acts? Christians are called people of the way. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But I'm afraid many Christians cannot be led by God. Not because God doesn't want to. It's because, number one, perhaps the relationship is not very strong, the trust relationship. And because they're not trusting with their whole heart, they still lean to their own understanding. They still lean on... See, sometimes, Brother Johnny, you know, in my experience, God doesn't need you. Can I, with all respect to us, when we make decisions that will glorify God, there is a place for our understanding, our experience, but our heart must be this. God, I have my ways, I have my experience, but what do you say? And God, whatever you say, I'm willing to eradicate. If God, you agree, and I'm okay to do this, fine. There are some times that King David said, God, should I go? I think I should go. So, go! And you have success. But there are times that God says, no, you don't go. David says, fine, I don't go. But times when God says, don't go, David went, he fell into problems. Does that make sense, Christians? I'm afraid many Christians are not getting led by God because they're not in the way. Very simple. Are you baptized? Are you following what? Are you reading the Bible? Are you praying? Are you honoring your parents? Are you telling lies in your relationships? Are you in the way? Are you doing? Is there someone that you cannot forgive? You're not in the way. And that's why God cannot lead you. Upon the authority of God's word, you want God's leadership, we need to be in the way. We need to do the right things. Please, it's not about list of do's and don'ts. They're not about list of do's and don'ts. I do something because I love someone. That is always the basis of the scriptures for the New Testament church. In the Old Testament, yes, you do and don'ts because otherwise you get struck dead. That's the Old Testament law. But in the age of grace in which we live, when there's a relationship, I do something for my wife because I love her. Can you imagine? Well, I need to cook, sweep, wash toilet. If I don't do, I sin against my wife. I say, okay, I do. There was one particular wife who had a very domineering husband. To the point that the husband would make the wife do this and 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 this. The wife just faithfully do, but you know, she has this, what should I do, what should I do? Then in the end, something happened, the husband is not around anymore. Then the wife actually remarried, okay? And the new husband actually loved her a lot. And then, of course, the wife was still... And the wife realized, the same thing I did for my first husband who died is the same thing I'm doing for my second husband. But the first husband, I was... But the second husband, I'm doing all things and more, and I have no problems. You know why? That's a relationship. That's a relationship. Christians, as we close in this, I know I said a lot, but I believe very much the one strongest reason why we live not to trust God is because we have never really focused a lot of energy on building our relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't read the word, you don't pray, and everything that happens straight away, you go to your own understanding. You don't obey what God has to say. You choose your own ways. And therefore, when you come to the crunch, where is God? Actually, God has always been with you. Amen? I will never leave you. God promises that. Do you acknowledge that? You know, some people would say, Brother Johnny, I know God is with me, but... No, when you acknowledge God is with you, you don't but that anymore. You actually say, thank God. You know, the reason why we but God is because of our pride. We still want our own ways. Christians, are you trusting God? Trusting God implies a relationship. It means we trust Him with all of our heart. It means we will not lean to our own understanding. It means that we will recognize Him. Some of you, and I say as pastor, need to give up some things in your life because when you truly recognize God, you should not be playing with those things. If God is a holy God, that's one of the recognition. God, I'm not going to play with this sin because I acknowledge you as a holy God. A holy God cannot stand sin. I will surrender that. If I go on the internet and see something I'm not supposed to see, and I acknowledge God in my ways, God, you are the holy God. A holy God cannot stand to see sin. I will acknowledge that. I will put it away because I acknowledge you as Lord in my life. Lord, I have to make a decision to sign a contract for something. I don't know what's going to happen, but I acknowledge you to be ruler over my life. When I sign that, Lord, I'm going to trust you. But God, if there's something that happens in between, or when your word tells me, or maybe the person is a non-believer, God, your word teaches me I'm not to be yoked together with non-believers. I will not sign that because your word says so. Does that make sense? Oh God, when if I get this job, it means that I'm going to be away from my service of the living God. I acknowledge you as ruler of my life. I acknowledge you, your word teach I'm to be always involved in your work. I will not take that job. I'll trust you for something better. When you acknowledge God like that, that means you trust. Christians, can I encourage Ambassador Baptist Church to be a people who say, God, for you, anything. Because you know what God did? For you, everything. I gave my all. And all he wants is our obedience to him so he can give us our best. Let's learn to trust God. Let's pray. Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit to help us, Lord, even as we pray and close. And Father, I pray, and I know I've said a lot of things. I pray for your Holy Spirit to touch our hearts. There are many Christians here, I believe. Father, I ask you to touch their hearts in a special way. Lord, the relationship with you is so important. Perhaps some of us here, Lord, in your presence, have neglected Bible reading and prayer, neglected the fellowship of God's people. Father, some of us have neglected to trust you with all our hearts. Some of us, Father, have leaned to our own understanding and experience so much. Some of us have decided that because we're older in years, we are wiser. When we know, Father, a young child who is knowledgeable in your word is wiser than someone who rejects your word. Father, perhaps some of us are leaning to our own understanding so much that we do not acknowledge you. Father, some of us, our relationship with you is not strong. But we want to be strong, Lord. We want to learn to trust you like the servant did, in total humble obedience to you. Lord, how he prayed, not for himself, but he prayed with a heart of submission to you. And that, Lord, in the end, because he was in the way, because he was following your way, you answered his prayer. And as a result, Father, there was a continuation of the nation of Israel up to today because of a servant who was willing to trust in God. With your eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around, please. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Are you a Christian today? You say, Brother Johnny, I've always said I trust God. But based on God's word, there are some areas I know I'm not. Could you pray for me that God will teach me what it really means to trust him? To trust him with all my heart. To not lean on my own understanding. In all my ways, to recognize him, and then I know and am assured that he will direct my path. Is there someone who said, Pastor, pray for me that God will teach me to trust? Is there someone? Just put up a right hand. I'll pray for you. There's someone. Amen. I see that hand at the end. Amen. I see the hand too. Put it up and put it down and pray in your heart. God, teach me to run to you for refuge when I'm in trouble, when I'm supposed to do something to obey you. Give me strength. Trust God. Is there someone else? Is there someone else? Amen. I see that name too. Amen. There's someone else. All right, before I close, I need to ask you, do you have a relationship with God? If you're here, you're not a Christian. You have no relationship with God. When you have come to the end of your resources, you do not have any backup. But you know, God is not only our backup, he's our life. The Lord Jesus Christ says that if you will come to him, because of our sin, we are separated from God, but if we would trust him as our Savior, he would wash away our sin and he would reconcile us back to God. Is there someone who said, Brother Johnny, I don't know what you mean to talk. I don't understand the message about trusting, but I did see something that There's something about this God that I can trust on, but I don't know Him really. I've never learned about Jesus. I've never learned, but I'd like to know more about Him. Is there someone who said, Brother Johnny, I'm not a Christian. If I die right now, I'll be in hell. But if Jesus can save me, I'd like to find out more. Is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. And I won't embarrass you. I just get someone to speak with you. We're not here to ask you to join the church or give money. We just want to share with you the love of Jesus. Is there someone? Right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the brethren that's put up their hands. I don't know what's in their heart, but you do. Lord, I pray that we know this verse by heart. Help us to practice this verse in our lives, to trust you with all of our hearts, implying a relationship established, and then, Lord, allowing you to work in our lives. Father, we know you are the faithful one, but many times, Father, we neglect our duties in trusting you. Father, I pray for the brethren who have put up their hand, that you will strengthen them with a determination in his heart, their hearts. From now on, every decision, Lord, to acknowledge you, at least in prayer, and to tell you that, Lord, in all that I do, I want you to be recognized in my life. I want you to be the Lord of every decision I make. I want you to stand with me, which we know you will. For Father, I pray for someone here who do not know Jesus. I pray that they will not leave this place until someone will share with them the gospel. Thank you for what you're going to do. As you sing the closing hymn, Lord, trusting Jesus, help us to make it a reality in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.